with us.
Thank you for having me.
And appreciate y'all coming in. And hopefully we'll continue this conversation on KBOO. And again, go to various websites, Portland Tenants United, Backpacks of Hope. Do you have a
website? Just go to, we don't have a website yet, but just go to Rose City Backpacks of Hope on Facebook.
And that's going to have to wrap it up for today. My name is Paul Rowland, your host for this special public affairs program. And write to the city of Portland. Go to the, again, the Portland Tenants United Facebook page. They've got a Take Action Now item you can write, find out more. Go to 82nd and what's the cross street there where the Springwater Trail is?
Anyway. Oh, gosh. Right
it's
now.
It's a wide area, but yeah. 82nd, Flavel, Duke,
Lambert.
Wherever it crosses the Springwater Trail.
And take a bike ride up there. And we got to go. Thank you for listening.
Join Grassroot News Friday, July 29th from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. as we honor the free spirit and musical genius of Minnie Riperton. From her doo-wop period at Chess Records to her funky psychedelic soul at Rotary Connection to her solo period, Loving You. Miss Minnie Riperton on Friday, July 29th from 8 p.m. until 10 p.m. on KBOO Portland.
This is KBOO Portland. It's 10:01 a.m. Stay tuned for Chris Andre bringing you Air Cascadia, followed by Flashpoints. And on the Radio Zine, we hear about the anti-LGBT backlash against the 2015 Supreme Court marriage equality ruling. And at 11:30, Ken Jones speaks with Oregon-based author and indie publisher Dan Armstrong. And thank you, KBOO members, for your continuing generous support. For those of you who are not yet members of the KBOO Foundation, you may rectify that oversight at kboo.fm. Click on the word donate.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, July 29th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your unconventional radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. We have a little bit of weather to go through today. So here's a point. Though for those of you who say, Chris, why do you do the weather when you have so little time to waste? I certainly would argue that maybe you don't care about the weather because you might have a house to live in and you can get away from the weather. So that said, those who do not have the luxury of running indoors and quickly dialing up a preferred climate, they might be interested to know whether all their stuff is going to get soaking wet or perhaps fried. And that is before anybody else could get in there and take all of it. So yes, to some people, weather is more important than to some others. And if we don't have time for weather, we're very soon we're going to find out that weather's got all the time in the world for us, and it will deal with it with our arrogance as it sees fit. So for today, sunny skies, and wow, it's getting hot. It's going to be hot for a while. 90 degrees and 8 to 14 miles per hour, and as far as wind is concerned, could gust up to 21 miles per hour. Out in the gorge, it will most definitely, I assure you, gust up to that. And for tonight, increasing clouds, lows around 61. It's going to stay windy, gusting up to 21 miles per hour or so. And we've got for Saturday, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming sunny, highs around 78. Saturday night, we'll see increasing clouds, lows around 59, and northwest wind 6 to 11 for Sunday. Partially clear skies, highs around 78. Nice, a little cooling off, backing off a little bit. And calm winds. And for Sunday night, mostly overcast with a low around 58, bringing us full circle to all the troubles that Monday means. Or perhaps we could see it as all the opportunities for solving problems that Monday means. So, there are problems galore out there waiting for solutions. We touched briefly on some of the Portland Cop Watch's response to the Police Review Division 2015 annual report. That said, it's certainly worth having a look at. It does indeed affect all of us. And again, like the weather, it affects some of us to a greater or perhaps lesser degree. I do like to remind myself from time to time that laws are for people who don't have lawyers. So think on that a little bit, if you will. The report, Cop Watch says, overemphasizes how deadly force incidents are handled differently from civilian complaints, reminding the community four times that such incidents cannot be appealed to the CRC. That fundamental unfairness needs to be addressed. If the only holdup is a prohibition on IPR from investigating deadly force cases in the Portland Police Association's labor contract, then that contract should be amended. The IPR makes note that more bureau-initiated complaints are sustained than civilian ones. However, they do not include any narrative of bureau complaints, so it's difficult to judge the seriousness of those violations. But by definition, they cannot involve interactions with the community. That's something to think about too, isn't it? And you have, and who really is out on the streets as much as the police? People who don't have houses to go to. If you had a house to go to, you wouldn't be out on the street having to confront the police every day, every hour in most cases. Or perhaps you live somewhere else, not on the streets. Perhaps you live in, the Springwater Corridor, just for the sake of example. We're going to be speaking in just a moment with Pete Hybertson, the spokesperson for the many hundreds of very individual, very different people with very different stories. No one who lives without a house is without a story. It's more story than in many times, and more story than house. There's always something there to be told. Just one a couple more notes. Over 130 organizations are challenging the Environmental Protection Agency to consider prisoner population in an environmental justice action plan. That is something to think about. Prison is an environment, and it is a very dangerous environment if you happen to be a prisoner. And again, that's a form of roof that most people who are currently roofless or houseless would rather actually avoid. And finally, of course, if you didn't catch it a month ago, CARE wants you to remember that it's still possible to buy Islamophobin. It's the gum that prevents Islamophobia. And we will be having some of that very gum on Air Cascadia soon, in case anyone feels a need to chew that fabulous new Council on American Islamic Relations product, Islam of Foreign, the gum that prevents Islamophobia. Lord knows we need it now. Do we not? Now, that said, let's welcome Pete Hybertson to the KBOO Air Cascadia Airwaves. Good morning, Pete. Thanks for being with us today.
Morning, Chris. Thank you for having me on.
Do you want to tell a little bit of your story and what brings you here, in fact, to the KBOO Airwaves?
Well, I've been out on the trail a fair bit this past week with the announcement that the sweeps were initially supposed to come down on August 1st on the 500-plus folks who are unhoused and living along the trail. And my role in that has been as a part of Portland Tenants United. So myself and other members of the organization have been out on the trail talking to people who are unhoused out there. And just looking to hear from them what PTU and other housed community allies could do to support them in standing their ground when sweeps came, if that was what they wanted to do. And we talked to a lot of people who were interested in standing their ground come the sweeps, because then the most common story we would hear would be, where else am I going to go? And we know that there's not enough housing in the city of Portland to fill the need, especially for folks who have the multiple high barriers that come often along with experiencing homelessness. We know that the rents are too high for the level of income and support and the resources, that's in the system for unhoused people. And, the mayor's office had said this is going to be a compassionate and humane sweep, quote unquote, But,
what would that be? What on earth would that be? I've watched sweeps before. There's nothing compassionate or humane about it. And what's different about the sweeps that Hales is promising this time?
Well, we were very skeptical of that narrative. That is definitely a good point to bring up. In my opinion, it really is no such thing as a compassionate or humane and indiscriminate sweep of camps where unhoused people are living. Their rationale, I think, was that they were intensifying social services outreach to the Springwater Corridor in advance of that deadline. But I also have worked in social services, with people experiencing homelessness, and I can tell you that there just is not enough available housing placement, particularly not on that short of a timeline. And, the capacity is just not there to house several hundred people in a matter of weeks. And, thanks, I think, to organizing along the trail, especially among the people camping on the trail. And, we are not necessarily spokespeople for the folks who are living out on the Springwater. We are, there to stand in solidarity with them, to support them in ways in which they want to push back on what's happening. Now, in combination with that work, as well as a lawsuit that was developing, as well as pushback, I think, to some extent, from the social services agency saying, really, we need more time to do our work out here. The mayor did make the decision just on Wednesday to postpone the sweep by a month. We consider that to be a victory, but we do not consider it to be a final victory, if you see my meaning. It is a postponement that does give us more time to do the work, but they have not altered their plan. We need to, and what we're saying at this point is that the mayor needs to be working with the people who are out there on the Springwater Corridor, because they have nowhere else to go, to develop a long-term and sustainable solution. It's not simply to indiscriminately sweep people who are often disabled, who are experiencing mental illness, who do not have necessarily the capacity to find themselves another place that they can, sleep and exist, in the absence of other options.
Yeah, because of the stories, each person's story out there on the Springwater. I myself, Lincoln Troutdale, have attended a not a public meeting where plan was sprung on residents that was supposedly that they announced this is a plan that was evolved with lots of public input. Well, there wasn't any. So there's nothing but subterfuge and taking a situation and giving it a name is totally inappropriate and misleading and hoping that people will swallow it. And this is a pattern everywhere across the board. People on the Springwater and down, you know, the reasons why they are there have to be taken into account. They are people. They're not rubbish that gets swept up. That's mm-hmm. I object to the word sweep as well. This is not like we're sweeping up like trash. These are human lives, and those lives have got to be accommodated. And I do think that Hales and the city leadership has claimed that there's not enough low-income housing. Of course there is. Of course there is. You see buildings empty all the time. And it's like, oh, the rents are too high. Well, then lower them. Make sure that you find places for people to live that they'd like to live in that are agreeable to those who might be living there. And then make sure that they are, I've seen eminent domain used in so many highly inappropriate ways by the private sector for personal gain. This is indeed for the public good, for the public benefit, for everyone, regardless of socioeconomic status. I find that the claim that there's no housing or there's no affordable housing, ridiculous. There's certainly housing towards Gresham, and if landlords or property owners were required to donate even 5% of available spaces, property owners, stakeholders, as it were required to toss that into the pot, we could solve the problem. And with very little financial harm or inconvenience. So Hales just, it seems that he's completely abdicated.